We begin today with a quote from, well, of all people, one of the internet's most popular, compelling, and entertaining atheists. Then we discuss the color of his gloves. And oddly, even though this, as a podcast, is a non-visual medium, it really isn't going to hinder you in the slightest. Then we talk about Ellen. Yeah, that Ellen. And her popularity as a talk show host, but as you probably know, her kind of lack of popularity with the people, well, all the people who've ever worked for her, all on the way to answering the question, can you choose to believe? Welcome to the Sky Pilot Podcast that explores questions of faith, spirituality, and religion. I'm Dan Matthews, and I don't have all the answers, but I do enjoy the questions. Welcome to the podcast where every question is an invitation into a spiritual quest, and you're invited along for the journey. Now, if you poke around long enough in the world of social media, you may just come across Abraham Piper. He's a really interesting guy. He's the son of a rather well-known conservative evangelical preacher named John Piper. And no, I'd not heard of John, his father, before coming across the son. So if you don't know of him, don't feel bad. Though he is often referred to as a well-known theologian, a well-known pastor, I think it's safe to say that he's well-known in particular circles. And yes, I've never heard of him, but to be fair, I'm pretty sure he's probably never heard of me either. Although I don't have people out there referring to me as the well-known Dan Matthews. Although I wouldn't be against that, as long as it's for a good reason, because you could be well-known. Well, anyway, let's move on. Back to the son. When Abraham was 19, he questioned the faith he was brought up in and was summarily excommunicated by his church. 4 years later, he was accepted back, only to later on reject their belief system again and again be rejected, excommunicated by his church. Abraham Piper has quite a few business ventures and describes himself as a serial entrepreneur. In this case, that does not mean he invented and marketed several types of boxed breakfast food, but that he has started several varied business projects. I discovered him through his short videos on YouTube. These are as varied in topic as his business ventures are. He loves language, so some of these videos are just interesting ponderings about words and language, such as a short video he recorded recently in which he proves that every word can be, along with whatever it normally is, a noun. But I stumbled across him for a different reason. I discovered him because he has done a number of videos talking about his stance as an atheist, and also his insights into the evangelical Christian movement, because that's the movement he was brought up in. Now, to be fair to him, to actually quote him, he doesn't really embrace that word atheist, not because he does believe in God, but according to him, someone who's an atheist is kind of actively disbelieving, proclaiming their disbelief, and maybe trying to convert other people to that, and he just doesn't spend that much time on it, according to him. Now, I don't see him as the enemy of faith. Actually, quite the opposite for me. I enjoy his videos because I think his thoughts help me further understand my own beliefs. Now, I watch his videos because they challenge me to consider and think about, what do I believe? Do I believe what he just said? Is this a process, and are these videos something I would recommend to new believers who have just come to their faith and ought to watch these videos as a way to kind of think about what they're learning? No, probably not. This is probably a little more advanced than I would suggest for them. But certainly anyone who wants to believe or claims to believe that they have arrived in their faith, that their faith is kind of fully formed, then yeah, I think you need to listen to somebody like Abraham Piper and let him kind of shake your spiritual tent poles a bit. It may also come as a surprise to you that I sometimes agree with him. He has a couple of videos I really like, one in which he boldly proclaims that no Christian actually believes in hell. And then he goes on to prove it. And I find his argument to be really compelling, and one that every Christian ought to have to wrestle with at some point when you think about the nature of hell. Matter of fact, that video will probably be the subject of a podcast in the future because I like it so much. Recently, I watched one of his videos entitled, You Can't Choose to Believe Anything. Even before I watched it, the title had me questioning, can you choose to believe, or does belief just happen? Then I started to go down all sorts of rabbit holes thinking about this, wrestling with the issue, before I finally realized, you know, maybe I ought to watch the video before I start wrestling with what I think he's going to say. So I'm going to let you do the same. I'm going to let you listen to a portion of this video, discussion to follow. Oh, I also should say before I start this audio clip that he likes to record these videos while he's on walks. So this particular video is Abraham Piper out walking on a cold winter day. And so you will hear his boots crunching in the snow. He's bundled up and wearing orange gloves. And that detail is important for you to know since you can't see the video and he mentions the color of his gloves.
No one in history has ever decided to believe something. You can choose to do things, you can choose to behave in a certain way, and you might even believe that if you behave like you believe, you'll end up believing, but you did not choose to believe that things work that way. You can't decide to believe anything. Beliefs just happen. Let's try to choose to believe something. These gloves, they're green. Believe it. Do it. Believe it. Try it.
All right, he offers a really interesting and compelling argument here, but let me start with the weakest part of his argument, his gloves. I have my own example I want to use, and it is this. No one has ever chosen to know how to play the piano. Either you know or you don't know how to play the piano, and I'll prove it. If you don't already know how to play the piano, I want you to choose to play the piano, and immediately I want you to sit down right now and play La Campanella by Liszt. See, you couldn't do it, could you? So that proves my point. No one has ever chosen to learn how to play the piano.
Wait. Dan, that is cheating, don't you think? You want to show that his glove color analogy is weak by creating your own analogy, but learning to play the piano is hardly the same thing as deciding on the color of a pair of gloves, don't you think?
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much. You absolutely nailed it. Playing the piano is not similar enough to warrant it being a good comparison, nor is looking at a pair of gloves and instantly deciding to change your perception of the color a really useful analogy for the often lifelong process of deciding what you believe. Belief has an element of time involved in it in a way that the glove analogy just doesn't permit at all, does it? So rather than argue with his gloves, because, look, let's be honest, he could be absolutely right about his point, but just have chosen a weak tool for teaching it. So leaving the gloves behind, hope his hands don't get cold, let's look at his initial point. You can't choose to believe anything. Is that true? If we're going to ask if you can decide to believe, then we need to understand what that word means. The definition of belief. What is it? Well, it means something along these lines. It means trust. It means faith. It means confidence in something or some belief system. Now, I believe that the sun will come up tomorrow. I believe that my wife Sarah loves me. I believe in a loving and caring God who created us all. And in this case, when it comes to defining this word, we could probably get a slightly different, nuanced answer from, well, from everyone who answered the question, what do you think the word belief means? So for this podcast, obviously, you're going to get it as I understand it. If your understanding differs in any kind of meaningful, powerful, transformative way, let me know. Actually, if it varies in any kind of small way and you want to share it with me, I'd love to hear from you. If you are to ask me, then beliefs are more than opinions. They are faith in something that has, and this is important, some relevance and bearing to the way you live your life. Belief and actions are two sides of the same coin. Look, Ellen DeGeneres made a career of being really clear about one thing, that she believes that the world would be a better place if we all made an effort to be kind to each other. She's publicly and clearly said this again and again and again, the importance of kindness in the world. She literally exhorted people at the end of every show to be kind to each other. And she would regularly speak extensively on the subject.
You're here on a special day, I'll tell you that. Today, I don't know if you know this, but it's World Kindness Day. Since I preach kindness every day, this is a big one for me. This is like my Super Bowl or my World Series or my, I don't know any other sports, that's all. I've been studying kindness for the past 17 years on this show, and I thought I could help with some research that you know, like, I don't know, these are things that I've learned. So consider me your professor. This is like kindness 101, so pay attention. This is on the midterm.
Now, in recent times, we've discovered through people who have worked for her that she really isn't kind. She's actually pretty famously cruel to the people who work for her and other people as well. So we have her professing her beliefs, and yet we also know her actions don't match. Most anyone would conclude that when your professed beliefs and your actions are out of sync, then probably there really isn't a belief there. In Ellen's case, it's fair to say, look, she's an entertainer. Kindness was more of her marketing strategy than the foundation of her actual personal belief system. What this serves to remind us is that you can profess a belief until the end of time, but that doesn't, for the most part, do much towards shaping action. But, and this is important, that doesn't mean that belief and action have no relationship in which they shape one another. We know in the world of psychology that beliefs follow behavior actually much better than behavior follows stated beliefs. So in reality, you can pick a pattern of behavior that is associated with a desired belief or character trait and shape your own belief system by doing that behavior. So adopting a pattern of giving probably will indeed lead to a growing belief in the importance of generosity. Now, here's a fair question. Dan, okay, you're talking about all of this, but how often in your ministry, in the church, did you encounter people who were, say, non-believers, but were working on and wanted to learn to believe? Now, that's a fair question because you might assume that the church is a place that is largely, and this would be a fair assumption, is largely a place where people congregate who already believe, and that people who don't believe tend not to congregate there. But the answer to the question is, how often have I experienced this is more often than you might think. If you know anything about the world of alcohol or drug addiction, there is a process of working on yourself, trying to achieve sobriety, and this process is called the 12 steps. Generally, when someone comes new to AA and wants to quit drinking, they are introduced to these 12 steps. And I'm not going to go through all three of them, but I am going to hold up the first three because they really pertain to the answer to this question. So the first step is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Now, here's the interesting thing. Imagine you are going through this process and you really want to make this work. You really need to get sober. But there's one problem. You don't believe in anything in particular. In the steps, it says, you have to give control to God. Now, that's not necessarily anybody's particular definition of God. So that's not the Christian God. That's not the Jewish God. That's not the Muslim God. You could have your own faith system. But you need a God. And now that you've chosen this path, you're acknowledging, I don't really believe in anything. And that happens fairly frequently. So what would happen occasionally is these people would come into my office and sit down and say, look, I'm on this path. I'm trying to get sober. I'm trying to achieve sobriety, but I don't believe anything. And I need some help working on learning to believe. Now, I haven't gone through the 12 steps, but I have watched and occasionally assisted others in small ways in doing so. And I can say that there are so many people within the recovery community who have chosen to believe and then worked hard and learned to believe because they came to realize that their future, their life, in many cases, their very survival depended on it. Now, you may be inclined to dismiss this and say, yeah, but those are alcoholics. Those people are really troubled. We don't use that as an example for the rest of us because that's not the life of purity or spirituality or holiness or whatever you want to say in that. So let me tell you a story from my own life. When I was in seminary, had to do work at a local parish, and the parish that I chose was in Manassas, Virginia. And at that particular time, the rector of this parish was a guy named Ed Campbell, a recovering alcoholic. And he was a remarkable, holy guy. There were quite a few recovering alcoholics in the parish because he had this kind of unbelievable radar that he could be walking through life and in a grocery store and see somebody and turn to them and say, "You're an alcoholic, and I know it because I'm one. And life doesn't have to be like this." And all of a sudden, the person's crying and they're hugging each other, and he's helping them on the road to recovery. So he was a remarkable guy. And he told me a couple of things. First of all, he had a tendency to use the word drunk for alcoholic. So I'm going to use the quote from him as he said it. These aren't my words. And he said, "Dan, a drunk is a miserable thing. But the only thing worse than a drunk is a dry drunk." Now, when he says that, what he means is an alcoholic who has quit drinking but hasn't done any of the work and still has all of the problems that led to their alcoholism. But here's the other thing he taught me. People who are alcoholics, who have done the work, who have gone through the 12 steps, who have managed to get their lives on track, are some of the most whole, spiritual, amazing people I have ever encountered in my entire life, because they've all been forced to go through something profoundly changing, transformative, in which they have to look at themselves, they have to reassess their lives, they have to make choices about who they are and what they're going to believe, that leads to a place on the far end with a depth and spirituality that most of us, me included, will never achieve. So I don't think this is a weak place to pull our example from. I actually think this is a profound and powerful place to pull it from. I will finish today with borrowing and adapting a quote from Mark Twain. He was asked once if he believed in baptism, and he answered, "Believe in it. I've seen it." Do I think that people can choose to believe? Yes. I've seen it. That's all for today. If you would like to get in touch with me to ask a question, suggest a topic for a future episode, or just tell me what you thought of this episode, I would love to hear from you. My email address is dan@skypilot.zone. On your spiritual journey, may you ask questions, seek answers, and boldly go wherever the quest takes you. Thanks for listening to Sky Pilot Faith Quest. I invite you to send me a question or leave a review. And remember, the sign of a strong faith, solid religion, or healthy spiritual journey is not certainty, but that you keep asking questions.